Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome to Financial Intelligence. And I am your host, Stephen Hutchinson, the host of Financial Intelligence, where we have that conversation. Yes, you know it. You know it. We have that conversation, that particular conversation, that specific conversation. Yes, the money conversation. We have the money conversation, the all-important conversation, which we need to have. We need to have that. We need to discuss that. We need to thoroughly consider that, reconsider, rehash, so we can restructure our communities. We can restructure the power structure, actually, because that is the foundation of the society that we live in. So financial intelligence is all about having that conversation, that all-important, most important conversation and consideration. Yes, I repeat again, the money conversation. That's what we're here for. That's what we're here to do. We're here to bring it to the forefront, to bring it from the dredges of our mind, from the back and from the bottom of the list, and bring it up to the top of the list and put it in perspective, in relation to the rest of our lives, to bring that up, this consideration, financial intelligence. So financial intelligence is a holistic methodology of approaching this consideration, of approaching our finances. So it's a methodology of approaching it so that we can approach it from the big picture, so we can remove ourselves from the day-to-day struggle and misery and frustration of the need for money and put money in its proper perspective. That's what we're here to do. That's what we're here to do. So thank you very much for your participation. Again, this is Stephen Hutchinson, your host of Financial Intelligence. And today I am accompanied by one of my associates. Is that you? Can you please? I see you there on 302. How you doing?
I'm amazing. How are you?
Yes, sir. Mr. Tate, Mr. Brandon Tate.
Indeed.
Making his presence felt. Bring it to the forefront. And we are partners. We are partners in business. We are also great friends. We are partners in this podcast as well. So welcome, Brandon, my brother. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. How about you? Thank you for the warm invitation. Indeed, we are
absolutely
friends.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. You know, that's an important part of it right there because, you know, we talk about money on this show. And, you know, one of the things when we're talking about money is, you know, the need. If we're going to have businesses, we need business associates. We need business partners.
Exactly.
What kind of partnerships can we have if there's no trust?
That's right. That's true. Absolutely. I need to have the mindset that, hey, if I put down my wallet, I know my business partner not going to go in there and take anything.
Exactly. Oh, exactly. And that's putting it bluntly.
Yes.
That's just making it blunt, like, really. Because how are we going to build anything without any infrastructure of trust? The infrastructure
That's right.
of trust is essential. And today's theme for this show, and this is going to be part one, we're also going to have a part two, which will be coming up in 2 weeks, but the theme for today's show is the first step to financial solutions.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we, you know, this is what we are focusing on. We're going to focus on solutions to our financial problems, so from a big picture. You know, and already, I think we have already, like, you know, struck a chord right there when you talk about trust and we talk about having financial solutions. When we talk about business and business interactions, I just think that's a very important ingredient, very fundamental.
Indeed it is. You know, just like when it comes into investing, you know, you want to make sure that you do your due diligence and you want to trust that whatever you're investing, you're going to get a ROI on it. If you don't get a ROI, it's like, oh, man, what did I just threw money in the trash. But, you know, whatever we do, trust has to back it. You know, matter of fact, relationships and anything is built off of trust, you know, for you to have a healthy relationship. You know, I'll throw that out there because there's some people that don't trust anybody, but they have some unhealthy relationships. But, you know, trust is very paramount when it comes to business partners, relationships. It don't even necessarily always have to be between husband and wife, but between your friends, between your siblings, between whatever family member that's out there. So trust is a huge element in everything that we do.
That's right. And between business partners, you know, as
Indeed.
Well. And so now, today, like I said, the theme is the first step to financial solutions. So one of the things I want to start out with, Brandon, so that we can elaborate on this, is step number one. I have four words here, and I say the first thing, if we're going to take it seriously, right, because, you know, there's always, you know, everybody wants money. You know what I'm saying? That's like a no-brainer. Like, I've never heard anybody say, you know, even if people – I've heard people say, you know, I don't care about money. They say that they don't care about it, but they didn't say they didn't want any. They just said, I don't care about it. Like, I don't care about
right.
money. I don't care about money. But
mm-hmm.
how many hours do you work a day? 8. Okay, well, you must want some. Otherwise, I don't know why you would be spending a quarter of your day at a
mm-hmm.
job. You may say you don't care about money, and that may to some degree be true. But you still want it. You still need it. Otherwise, there's only 24 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
That means you get 3 You have 3 8-hour cycles in a day.
Correct.
So why would you donate a quarter of your day to working for someone else if you did not see the need for money?
That's right.
Okay.
Yes,
so,
indeed.
So and putting that in perspective. So now, you know, so, you know, that's there. Everybody wants money, you know, everybody, you know, wants more money, right? Even wealthy people, I haven't even heard a wealthy person to say, I have enough money. I don't
got that
want
right.
any more. Okay, we have millionaires. We have multimillionaires. You know, we have different classes of millionaires. And every one of them that I've heard from are still endeavoring to acquire more money. We have billionaires. We have different categories of billionaires. As far as I know, all of them are still endeavoring to acquire more money. So, you know, if we put it in realistic perspective, you know, it's something neat that we need to deeply consider. So this is what I want to do, Brandon. I'm going to take this theme, First Step to Financial Solutions. And my first step, I say, is this. The first thing we have to do if we're going to be serious is we have to stop, look, listen, pay attention, and learn. Those four things. I think the very first thing, and then I would like you to elaborate on these, but the first thing is stop. Because if we just keep going, you know, doing, you know, the robot thing, the rat race, the cheese chase, you know, I have no idea what the results are going to be. I just think they're not going to be the desired result. So I think the first thing we need to do is literally stop, pump some brakes, take a look, analyze our situation, listen, pay attention, and then learn what we need to do. So could you elaborate on this
question? Well, you know what? You know, it's sometimes life itself moves so fast. And you just don't know sometimes which way to turn because it's just moving so fast, so fast. Just like even in sports, you know, sometimes in football, you know, the flow of the game is so fast that, you know, sometimes you just have to analyze, okay, what's going on in order so that you can, you know, make the right move. Now, sometimes, you know, you have a situation that if you're playing defense and you are a linebacker and say your primary objective is to blitz and sack the quarterback, yes, you can go in there and sack the quarterback, but what if it's a running play? So you have to slow your roll, okay? And you have to look and see who is in possession of the rock, of the football. I was about to say the rock, but the football.
Right.
And then you can continue to make a plan. You know, and to make sure that you get that ball carrier down. So in life and what we doing in business, sometimes, you know, all right, if, say, for example, you have a goal, okay, and this is a primary thing in business and in a lot of everything that we do, I'll say that, you know, we have to establish a goal. So instead of just continue to run full throttle, right, and you have no idea where you're running. Do you remember that that movie Forrest Gump?
Yeah, yeah. I remember that.
And he just kept on running.
Run, Forrest, run.
Yeah, they had to tell him which direction to run, but you know, hey, he made the touchdown. You know, but at the end of the day, you have to pay attention, all right, establish a goal. gather your data. You have to analyze your data, develop a plan, implement the plan, and then monitor it. Now, you stop, okay? You look. You're looking for different things. You're looking for different avenues. You know, how can I achieve this goal? What do I have to do? Okay? You listen, okay? Because sometimes people are just, you know, hard-headed, and they don't listen to anything. They have the spirit that they know it all. Oh, I don't need to know that. You don't have to tell me that. You know, and you know what? Even myself, Stephen, a lot of times, even if it's something that I already know, if the person is talking to me, I don't say, hey, I know it all. I already know that. I know that. I know that lesson. I already did. I'm finished with that lesson. No, you know what I do?
Right, I'm past
I
that.
Sit. Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. I sit there and I listen. I listen, and just to confirm what I know, and to fortify what I know. Like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm going down the right avenue. This is, you know, and you just, a lot of people, you can't talk to them because they're just not listening. You know, that goes in one ear and out the other. You know, sometimes you have some children, you know, or whoever, and you just tell them something, and they say, oh, yeah. And then next thing you know, they do something totally opposite to what you were just recommending.
Exactly. Right.
But, you know, with this, if you were to stop moving so fast, okay, you know, implement your plan, establish your plan, you know, gather the data, you know, analyze
exactly.
it, develop,
so you
implement,
need a plan.
Monitor.
You got to make a plan in order to execute a plan, right?
Exactly. Just like in business plans, you know, if you had a business and you wanted to borrow money or whatever, you know, some of them, you know, when it comes to grants or whatever, they want to see a business plan. They want to see what are you planning on?
Right. You know, that's interesting because just quickly, I'm saying that's interesting because actually from the respect of the IRS, the Internal Revenue Service, for tax purposes, in order to have a business and in order for the IRS to accept and respect and accept the validity of your business, you have to have an intention. You have to have a plan on making profit. Even if you don't make a profit, that's another issue. But you have to have that as a plan, as an intention, in order to qualify as a business, in order to not to be
mm-hmm.
considered a hobby. So, you know, like you're saying, your plan, even if you haven't been able to execute your plan yet, or you're not very good at the execution of your plan, still, you need to have the plan to be taken serious.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Stop moving so fast. Look. Listen. Learn something. And, you know, it's those are great factors that you have there.
Exactly. It's, you know, and I think one of those, I guess, you know, they're all kind of difficult, but if we isolate them, I think one of the most difficult things you could do is to stop what we're already doing because, you know, we have momentum. And whatever it is we're doing already, we have developed a certain momentum in that. You know what I'm saying? So we're moving in that direction already. So we have built up
mm-hmm.
some mass, some velocity. If you look at it from, I don't know, from a chemistry perspective, right? When you get the mass and the velocity of an object moving in a certain direction, it develops a certain momentum and a certain force,
mm-hmm.
and it's moving in that direction. Now, in order for an object to move in a different direction, it needs to actually have some type of opposition to oppose it. Is that correct?
That's right. That's right. That's right.
Okay, so, and I think that's one of the reasons why, like, on a mental platform, if we got this mental velocity going, you know, that we've been trained, you know, that we got to work for money, you know, you got to keep working because you got the bill, man, and the next bill is coming, you got to catch up and pay that bill, and if you don't work enough, then, oh, you might lose your job. You know what I'm saying? It's like a velocity. It's like listening to 1,000 voices, you know. And just constantly telling you the same thing. Come on, hurry up. You got to get out there. You got to make money, and then you got to pay the bill. Then, okay, uh-oh, the bill is due again. Oh, no, 15 more days. The next bill is due. So you know what I'm saying? I'm back out there. I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
And we could get trapped in that. We could get trapped in that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, you can.
And therefore, exactly, you know, therefore, the importance of that stop. You know, to pump those brakes, you know, so that we can begin to hear. Because like you were saying, also, we have to hear, we have to listen. But if we got that velocity going and we are, you know, it's like, for instance, if somebody is running at top speed and they're headed directly towards you, the only thing you could do is just basically get out of their way. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, just move out of their way because they're not going to be able to stop because they're moving too fast, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like you were saying, pump your brakes, you know, pump your brakes. So in the same way as we're saying, if we want to get serious about developing a financial solution, and when I say get serious, I mean we got to get past the get-rich-quick mentality.
Oh, yeah. Oh, of course. You know, and when it comes to the get rich mentality, you know, I'll say in a heartbeat of like, would you rather bake your cakes in an oven, or would you rather stick it in a microwave and try to get it real fast?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want mine in the oven all day long. Don't put my cake and my macaroni and cheese and sweet potatoes and roast in the microwave. You better not do it. I want to put in the oven. It's going to take longer, but it's going to be done right.
Exactly. Exactly. And I think that's an ideal analogy because I think that's what's happening because of the society that we live in. We're living in a microwave society. We're living in an instantaneous society. We're living in an immediate result society, and therefore everything falls in that category. So a person wants to become rich or become wealthy, and they want it quickly. Therefore, there's a whole lot of velocity. For instance, people buying lottery tickets. You see people buying lottery tickets often on a regular. And every day, people buy lottery tickets. People go to the casino, you know, as often as possible. But here's my question, and I was wondering about this, Brandon. And I wanted to do some research on that. I wanted to see what percentage of the American population gambles in lotteries and casinos and sports, and what percentage are investing in the stock market, for instance.
I'm sorry. Say your question again with me. I have Charles. He is here. He just joined us.
Okay. Is that Charles there? Let me see if I can bring him in here. Is that Charles with the 443 exchange?
No. No, he's right on here.
I'm in the same room with Brandon here.
Okay, how you doing, my brother?
Yes, I am fine. How are you, sir?
Excellent, man. Excellent. We're having
a
lively discussion here, a lively discussion on our theme for today, the theme being the first steps to financial solutions. And we're just going through some steps here, some considerations. And I was just saying to Brandon that I was just recently thinking about doing some research on a particular subject. And what I want to do is research, particularly in America, what percentage of people gamble? Okay, what percentage of the American population gambles through lotteries, through casinos, through sports betting and racehorses and all that, and then what percentage of the American population is investing, for instance, in the stock market?
Yes, that's a good question. But we can definitely attest to the fact that there are so many casinos going up and so many, you know, race parks for, you know, gambling and lottery. It's safe to say that a good portion of us spend a lot of money into gambling when we forego, a lot of us forego the investing, which is sad because too many of our working folks spend a lot of their hard working cash into the lottery system instead of putting it into, you know, stocks, bonds, or anything that can bring them back a return. And so definitely, I would say it's definitely worth the research. And I think we should encourage more people to consider, you know, or reconsider where they're putting their dollars.
I think so. I think you actually are right about that. You know, and the reason why I want to do that type of research, you know, is to look at the statistics, because from my observation, you know, I see people, even senior citizens, a lot of senior citizens who are spending a significant portion of their income on lottery tickets and gambling at these casinos, and that represents a mentality. A person's behavior reveals what they believe. Okay,
right.
So if I believe in business or investing or whatever I may believe in, you're going to see it through my actions. You're going
Amen.
To see
Amen.
I'm
yes.
expressing my belief. So behavior is just an expression of a person's belief, what they actually believe.
I totally agree.
You know,
because you can say.
Mm-hmm. Right,
I was about to say, you can say what you want. Anybody can say whatever. But at the end of the day, what you really believe in your heart is coming out in your actions. There's an old saying, talk is cheap. Yes, it is. But also, actions can be expensive if you're throwing your money into the lottery and the casinos and the race parks.
Exactly. And I think we have another example of that mentality. If we do, let's say we do a survey statistics and see how many people purchase real estate, buy homes or buy condominiums or buy townhouses, and how many people rent. Okay?
Mm.
Because, you know, ownership, you know, owning property is another, it's a type of investment. So, again,
right.
I think we're going to wind up seeing that the great majority of people are renting. And the interesting thing about renting as opposed to owning property is that usually it's cheaper. A mortgage is usually cheaper than a rent payment.
Yes, it is.
This is true.
So, you know what I'm saying? If that's the case, you know, it's curious. The behavior of the majority of people is very curious that, you know, a person will live in a place and they'll rent, and they may be renting there for 10 years. And if you look at how much money did I spend in paying rent over the past 10 years or past 5 years, and what have I actually gained from that? You know, that's a serious consideration. That's a serious consideration.
Yes, I totally agree. Because at the end of the day, the way I look at it, we're in real estate. Everybody's in real estate, whether they realize it or not. It's just a matter of, are you going to build your own equity, or are you building somebody else's equity into the house? Are you paying off your own house, or are you paying off somebody else's house? We're all in real estate one way or another. It's just that you want to position yourself where you're in a position where you're what's the better word for it? I would say just basically you want to position yourself to be to get the lion's share of the market. The lion's share. Yeah, when it comes to it, when it comes down to a house, you know, when it comes to property and assets, are you working to pay off somebody else's asset, or are you working to pay off yours? And
that's right.
And at the end of the day, if you're renting, you're passing along, you're actually paying off an asset that somebody else will pass along to their grandchildren versus you pass along to your grandchildren.
That?
Yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
That's a fact. That is a fact, Charles. That is a fact. As a matter of fact, a friend of mine and associate and brother, his name is Andre Hatchett out of New York, who's a real estate investor. He has a book that he wrote, and he also has a T-shirt line that he established with hats and everything. And he came up with this theme, and it's called Own or Be Owned. Own or be owned. You know, and I think that is a perfect expression. What is our objective? Are we going to become owners, or are we just going to be owned by those who own whatever we have because we don't own it? So that mentality,
right,
man, of ownership is a powerful, powerful mentality. If after everything I do, I wind up owning nothing, then pretty much all my effort was for naught. I have nothing, like you just mentioned, you passing on those assets to the next generation. If we have nothing to pass on, you know, that is an issue. And with that, at this time, I want to briefly play a short commercial that we have here at this show, and then we're going to come back on the other side. When we come back on the other side, we're going to move forward with this discussion about the first step to financial solution. Looking at this thing from a serious perspective, we want to overcome this whole idea of getting rich quick and actually look at this from a very serious, sober, analytical, mature perspective. And we will be right back with Mr. Charles Tate and Mr. Brandon Tate and your host, Stephen Hutchinson, Financial Intelligence.
Greetings, my people. Power up. This is Stephen Hutchinson of Financial Intelligence. I have a company called Power Tax, and in Power Tax, we do your taxes expertly and accurately, but we also answer your questions to help you understand what's going on within your tax return. And the result of that is that your financial intelligence shall multiply. Your financial literacy will increase. So reach out. We do tax returns for all 50 states. Consequently, you do not have to come to my office, but you can reach out to us at PowerTax.com. That's PowerTax with two X's, PowerTax.com. Or you can reach us at 610-955-6508. That's 610-955-6508. I implore to you, don't go to strangers. Reach out to PowerTax. And remember, be powerful.
And we're back. We're back. This is Stephen Hutchinson, your host of Financial Intelligence, with my guest host, Brandon Tate, business partner, and Mr. Charles Tate, business partner. Those are the Tate brothers, tag team. They're here holding it down, bringing it through. And also, when we're not on this mic, we're not doing this podcast, we're actually an association in business together, and we work together. So we have a synergy going during the podcast and after the podcast is over. So what we're doing is we're implementing these principles in our personal relationships as business partners, and then we come together to do this podcast to share with you, our audience, what we are learning, what we have learned, what we're studying, what we're experiencing, because we realize that this is the way that we can all benefit. We can, the whole tribe can benefit. It doesn't have to be just I get mine, I'm making mine, I'm profitable, I'm benefiting, and that's all that matters. That type of mentality, I think, will not be able to help us see the big picture. So that's what we want to see here. The first steps to financial solutions is how we could solve this problem for all of us as a people. We all need it. I want to be successful, but I also want my family to be successful. I also want my people to be successful. I don't want to be the only successful one, because that would be a lonely place to be, like, okay, I got it, I'm good, and everybody else is struggling. I don't think that's an actual success formula. Can you speak to that as a success formula, Mr. Tate, Brandon?
Absolutely. That's, you know, even forming EFG, you know, it was important for me.
What is EFG? What is EFG?
EFG is Entourage Financial Group. And in forming this, we you know, of course, we do a lot of services, you know, final expense, life insurance. We help out with annuities. We do long-term care. And we have other supplemental products like disability and dental, vision, the whole nine yards in that industry. And when I opened it up and started a team, it was important to me that I'm not the only one that eats. I wanted everybody to be successful, because if I'm saying, hey, I close an account, hey, I close an account, hey, I close an account, but what about all the people around me? If I have somebody else close an account and somebody else close the account and I'm closing the account, and we're going out there and helping all of these families that needs help, you know, to provide them with the right amount of life insurance. Now it's more fun. It's more energy, synergy, like you were saying, for more momentum. Actually, more momentum comes from a team than just from one.
Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. You want to chime in on that, Charles?
You know, I just want to say I concur. You know, I totally agree with what he's saying. You know, we are, it's best when we are, you know, working together, common goals, like we were discussing earlier before the podcast. And, yeah, and we enjoy what we do. We enjoy helping families, but it's great when we can come together and be able to help more families together.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And this theme that we have here, the first steps to financial solution. The first step that we went over previously, me and Brandon went over. We said the first thing is we need to stop, we need to look, we need to analyze, we need to listen, okay? We need to listen, be observant, and we need to learn. So stop, look, listen, and learn. Mind has to be expanded, has to be open enough to take in new information. And by taking in this new information, if we actually open up imbibe it and ingest it. That new information, excuse me, will then be the catalyst to change our behavior. And our behavior will actually change. Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Our behavior will actually change. Yeah, you wanted to speak on that, Brandon?
Absolutely. You know, earlier when I was saying establish the goal, gather the data, analyze the data, develop a plan, implement the plan, and monitor the plan. I actually had that written out, and I'm down, and I'm looking at it, and a good way to remember that is to, you know, make an acronym out of this. And you can call this acronym EGADEM. EGADEM. E for establish the goal. EGADEM. E. And you know what? It's like crazy things like that helps you actually remember.
It helps me as well.
Exactly.
Yeah. E is to establish the goal. G, gather data. A, analyze the data. D, develop a plan. I, implement the plan. And M, to monitor the plan. So once that's written out, you look at EGADEM. And you know,
get your EGADEM on. You got to get your EGADEM on.
And you want to be. Go ahead.
Oh no! It was just that I remember. I was studying this thing. There's this guy, his name is Kevin Trudeau, and he came out with this system about memory, how to memorize things. And I just remember that one of the things that he said was about, in order to make something easy to memorize, he says, I remember one of the principles he said is that the mind thinks in pictures. The mind thinks in pictures, which I thought was an interesting concept. Because, so the example would be like, if I say to you, elephant, if I say the word elephant, so in your mind, do you see the word elephant or do you see the picture of an elephant?
You're right. You see the picture of an elephant.
You see the picture, right? Not the word. So he was saying that one of the techniques, a memory technique would be, to associate thoughts or things that you want to remember associated with a picture. And if you associate it with a picture, it will be easier to remember. So I thought that was interesting. But he also said that the more outrageous a thing is, the more likely you're to remember it. So that made me just think of, like, when you came up with the acronym of EGADEM, because that's such an outrageous sounding word and such an unusual word, a person would be likely to remember it because it's unusual. You know what I'm saying? So it sticks out from other things. So he was just thinking of that as a technique for memorization, a memorization technique, you know, using things like acronyms and outrageous things and pictures to help us remember things. Now, so we went through that. Stop, look, listen, learn. Now, the next thing I would say when having the goal of creating financial solutions that I think that we have to do after we do, or simultaneously with the stop, looking, listening, and learning, we then have to take control. We have to take back control of our financial lives, because my theory is that we have given our control We've given the control of our finances, of our bills, of our budgets, of our goals. We've given them over to the society or to the job or to the corporation or to some other business owner or whatever. We've given them the control. They're calling the shots for us. So I think one of the things we have to do if we really want to solve financial problems is that we got to take our control back. What do you gentlemen think about that?
I 100% agree. Charles, do you remember when we were children, our dad always said, there are two type of people in this world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Those who make things happen and those who let things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's essential for us to take control. Stop being the victim to your own circumstance.
Yes.
We have to take control of everything that we do. And you know what? And it goes back to being organized, writing down a vision, you know, making it plain, and just be persistent. And if when it's something that you really want, you go get it. If it's something that you want to do, you'll do it. And you can say you're the busiest person in this whole world, and, oh, man, I don't have time for this. I don't have time for that. Oh, remember one time, one podcast before, I said there's 168 hours in a week. If it's something that you really want to do, you will make time for it. So we have to take control. How can we take control? You know, I'm working here at this Acme grocery store, and I'm a stocker, and that's all I'm going to be, and I can't imagine seeing myself past this point. Well, guess what? You're setting yourself up for failure. You are more. What's the difference between a person that works at Walmart as a greeter and a person like Warren Buffett? Warren Buffett, everybody has 24 hours in a day. What separates a Warren Buffett from somebody that is settling for to be a Walmart greeter? You know, Warren Buffett.
I would say the difference is the way they think. That's the primary difference. The way they think, and their conviction, their personal convictions, what they believe. Because their belief and their conviction is expressed in their behavior.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's expressing. You could see by the way a person is behaving what their belief is, what their convictions are. Even though, you know, people try to hide it all the time, everybody's trying to put an image forward of what they want people to think they are. So much energy is put into me. If I'm putting up, 65-70% of my energy, Brandon, trying to convince you of something about me, I have very little energy left to actually do it because I'm so busy trying to make you think that's what I am instead of using that energy to actually do that and be that.
And you know what? It all boils down to one word, mindset.
Mm-hmm.
Where is your mind? Where's your mindset? You know, and one thing that you was just hitting on, you know, there's a difference between character and reputation. Reputation is what you want people to believe who you are. But character is actually who you are.
Right.
And I'll say that one more time. Mm-hmm. Reputation is what you want people to believe who you are. Your character is actually who you are.
Mm-hmm.
And so when it comes down to it, first of all, and one thing that we touched on earlier is you have to be true to yourself. Trust. You have to believe in yourself. You have to believe in the process. You know, sometimes, you know, like, for example, when I have a lot of people that reach out to me that's looking for life insurance, and they send me some information, when I call them, when I'm calling them back, I trust that, hey, you filled this out because this is what you're looking for. So I have and one thing about what I do is, you know, have you ever had any friends, and I'll say this, that say, hey, you should do this, you should do that, you know, but they wouldn't do it themselves, and they don't do
right.
themselves, and they don't do it. What I do is that, first of all, charity starts at home, and then it goes abroad. I am covered. I have life insurance coverage on myself. And now guess what? I want to do some preventative maintenance so that people don't have to go to GoFundMe to bury their loved ones. Because GoFundMe is not a life insurance policy. It's good for, you know, I'm not saying GoFundMe is a terrible thing. You know, you can get some money for charity and whatnot, but GoFundMe was not made to be your life insurance policy. And if you have
I think it's like a last resort. Usually people do that as a last resort. I don't think that's their first choice. You know what I'm saying? And if they had things more organized and structured, I'm sure they wouldn't even do that, really. You know what I'm saying?
Mhm. And, you know, if there's options out there, and it's so important, you know, to see what your options are, you know, not leaving, you know, the burden on your loved ones. You know, I've talked to people that says, you know what, I don't care what they do with me after I'm gone. You can just throw me in the powder field. Well, what about those that love you? They're not going to just go and say that they don't know you. They're going to sign, and they're going to have to pay. And and for whatever reasons, they just don't want to get the coverage. But I'm a strong believer in that a good man leave an inheritance for his children's children. Make sure that, you know,
grandchildren.
Exactly. Make sure that you are protected. In the event something goes on, I mean, my good brother and I'm going to pass this over to Charles. But I've seen some things in my time that was just so overwhelming, disheartening. You know, 28-year-old male driving up the road, texting on his cell phone. Lost control of his vehicle, smashed into a stone wall, dies immediately, don't have any life insurance coverage, leaves behind a wife and 5 children. But just say, hey, and the thing about it is, even if it's not, you know, you don't have the money for it right then and there for the coverage and it's really tight, that means you really need it, especially if you're providing for your family.
Right, that's right. Because they not only, you know, lost their dad and lost their husband, right, and acquired the frustration, the difficulty, the heartache, the heartbreak, the stress, the anxiety, the surprise element, the trauma. They're getting all that. Plus, they lost the father's income on top of all of that. Plus, they acquired the expense of the father's final funeral arrangement. So, I mean, that's like, I mean, you're getting beat down in so many ways. That is something, and that's why this particular theme that we are approaching here, which is the first step to financial solutions, that's why we want to approach this from a holistic way, not just this little get-rich-quick, tiny-minded thing. It's not just about that. It ain't just about making some paper and all that. It's much bigger. It's much bigger than that. And mm-hmm. I definitely appreciate both of you, both my business partners. You know, I appreciate you, y'all taking your time, and coming and making this contribution from your different perspectives, because it's absolutely necessary. And we, as men, I feel as men, it's our responsibility to do whatever is necessary for us to build something, to build financial security, to build financial protection, to build financially stabilized families, communities, and societies. It's our responsibility by default. You know, it's not our responsibility just to make money for myself. You know, of course, people can choose whatever they want. But I think as men, really our responsibility is, like you just mentioned, we should be thinking about our grandchildren. What's their situation? How are they going to eat? How are they going to have shelter? How are they going to have protection? How are they going to have a future? If we're only thinking about ourselves, then again, I think we're missing the point. We're not approaching it from the big picture. We're just approaching it in a very small-minded way. So with that, gentlemen, yep. Believe it or not, we are right down to the last couple of minutes of the show.
Yes, sir.
And actually see someone called in. I could see one number here. It's an exchange, and the exchange is 443. So I want to see if this person has a question. I'm going to open your mic. Your mic is open now. That would be exchange 443. Do you have a question? That's 443 because I can't see your name. And your mic is open. Do you have a question or comment?
Okay. They may be shy.
yeah. So with that, we're winding down. We're actually within the last 2 minutes. So like I think it's in football, they have the two-minute warning. So basically we're down to the two-minute warning. So I just want to summarize this. If both of you gentlemen can summarize it, summarize your contribution for today, and if you want to put out any contact information or anything, you can both do that. Maybe we'll start with Charles.
Oh, yeah, just real quick, I just want to say that taking these steps towards financial solutions, it really begins with the mindset, like we really said earlier. And we have to be open to something new, something different, something better. And it doesn't mean what you're doing is wrong, but it's just we're just saying that there may be a better way. And if there's a better way to get further in life, and then if there's a way to make it easier for your family to get ahead, wouldn't you want to consider that option? So just have the mindset to just to be open to new ideas when it comes to increasing your financial intelligence, and that's all I have to say.
Mm-hmm.
Brandon?
Yes, indeed. I think I talked a lot already, but you know, going back to it, you know, make sure that you have good character, you know, regardless of you know what you're doing. You know, remember the difference between character and reputation. You know, first thing that we talked about was trust. that's essential when it comes to business partners, when it comes to relationships, okay? Also, maintain a good mindset. You know, don't just keep on thinking negative thoughts. Just get rid of all the negativity. Put positivity in place. And remember the acronym, EGADEM.
EGADEM.
Right. Let's establish the goal, gather the data, analyze the data, develop a plan, implement the plan, monitor the plan. Stop moving so fast. Stop, you know, look, listen, and learn. Once you feel like you know it all, then you will stop learning.
Yep.
So absolutely. That's right.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that's it in a nutshell.
And with that, my people, my good people, that is a summary of today's show, the first step to financial solution, right? These are the first steps. And today was part one, which means our next show, which will be in two more weeks, will be part two of this approach to financial solutions. So this is Financial Intelligence, and this is Stephen Hutchinson, your host. We'd also like to thank our producer, Ms. Beverly Black, from Gumbo for the Soul, as well as the Tribe Family Channel. We'd also like to shout out Genius is Common, Brother Bruce George. Okay? So please remember that there is great possibility and great potential. We all have great potential. We simply need to learn and change our behavior, which we can do, definitely. So we are very enthusiastic about this. We're going to be developing this show. Eventually, we want to take this show Facebook Live so we can have more interaction, personal interaction with people so that we can all develop together and increase our financial intelligence. And with that, I'd like to thank you very, very much. And until then, be powerful.